This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. Go to FUBARradio.com for more details. The Tuesday Roundup with Doc Brown and Hugh Joseph on FUBAR Radio.
Ghetto related, but this shit the whole world awaited. Y'all Dorito head cast and gap get stagnated. Black thought the Dundee most war veteran, crown ruler, sole controller of this lyrical land. Split wizard kid, who is it? Fifth dinosaur ghetto. Beat detonator apex, my level next. My complex patterns of speech is like sex. I master the art, I'm making you snap your necks. And chase Manhattan, endorse my mic checks. Upset, poet threat, just collecting my debt. Yo, I'm overpainting dudes, blood, tears, and sweat. When you're fucking with the roots, that's as good as it get. Ultra magnet, we pull you in a dragnet. Then brainwash your click and extort your assets. Then Brody, all your homies on some old school shit. Roots to represent.
Life's a gamble, step up and place your bets. I drift through space, then make my escape on through the net. With CDs, cassettes, no CODs or checks. Straight from the old school, and your roars in full effect. I'm like Lex Luthor with rifles filled with kryptonite. When you grip the mic, it's like, come on kids, let's say goodnight. You don't like me, but don't even know why you should hate me. You scared to face these, so I still remain safely confided. North Field, where I'm residing. Never let an outside nigga slide in. This ain't home plate. I dunk on you what's inside the paint. Go like this, you can't. Take me out, you ain't.
Nothing new, nothing new. Y'all not saying nothing new, nothing new.
This lambic frambois, spitting it for like whoever demand the answer. What's the cure for this hip hop cancer? Equivalent to this avalanche of black snow. Rap flow to get my people thinking more. We at the brink of war. What does it all mean? What's it all for? When I'll tell yourself, then you're through the first door. My people hungry and thirst for more. Next music explore. It's heavenly to your ebony daughter next door. So what you think the roots get the world respect for? This splendid authentic hip hop, this raw core. Severe world premiere, superior sophomore. No doubt, wherever you dwell, that's where the bomb fell. Exploding from the Imperial Ensemble, Pharrell. From the venue to the avenue, we truly only got respect for a few. Y'all ain't saying
nothing new, nothing new. Y'all not saying nothing new. Represent the legendary Fifth Dynasty crew. Rules crew coming through, tell me what you can do. Yo, you looking for me? Nah, I'm looking for you. Nothing new, nothing new. Y'all not saying nothing new. Represent the
king of my city, running this shit just like a tyrant. Y'all clowns know what I meant. That's if we at war, then my henchmen will be at your back door. Waiting, why the debating? Tripping over Legos, running up the steps and looking for a weapon. But you come out waving a white flag. That's why I just backslap ass like Shaq and owe the tag. Either take me out or be taken. You think I'm going down sight? The jury's just still deliberating. I got half of the kids tied up in a basement. No, I'm just playing, yo, but that's how I'm playing, yo. Dig what I'm saying, yo. D-I-C-E, shove a mic in your mouth like Ted DiBiase. When you come sloppy, fuck is y'all trying to do? Y'all into some whack shit and ain't saying nothing,
nothing
new.
Nothing new, nothing new. Y'all not saying nothing new. Represent the legendary Fifth Dynasty. Who I'm coming through? Tell me what you want to do. One, two, three.
Yeah. I was going to see how long I could draw that out for. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, and others. You are tuned in to FUBAR Radio, and I know what you're expecting. You're thinking, is this Doc Brown and Hugh Joseph? And you'd be incorrect. Today, you've got a very, very, very special duo. Dynamic, if you will. I am the Last Skeptic. That is a cough. You can also call me Corin. We have producer Natalie in the building, and also my very, very, very special guest co-host, the magnificent Daniel Taylor.
God, he's amazing.
Who are those people? Who are those people?
Yeah, I don't know. They come from everywhere. Hey, how you doing?
I'm all right. I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm feeling good, actually.
Good. Yeah. Excellent. Not nervous? No?
No,
shall we try and make you nervous throughout the show?
I mean, you can. I'm kind of worried. Like, stroking me underneath the desk or something.
That would mean I'd have really long arms, which I might do. It's highly possible. So, Danny Taylor, Daniel Taylor, Daniel Lawrence Taylor, if you want to IMDb him. IMDb. What did I say?
You said it.
Did
right?
I say
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
You know, IMDb it's one of the. Okay, cool. When you say it quickly, that phrase, it just, you know.
Muffles. Yeah, it muffles. No, but I say it all the time. IMDb him.
Well, then, yeah, there you go. Daniel Lawrence Taylor.
Yeah.
Which I want to discuss some stuff with you about your IMDb page later.
All right.
You know, comedian, actor,
poet, playwright. Theatrical genius. God, where do we start? No, actor.
Just actor. Scrap the rest.
Yeah.
So I first, you know, just to give everyone a background, you know, I first came into contact with you through my brother, Tin and Duyeb, comedian. And I saw you as one half of Ginger and Black.
Yep.
Incredible.
Cheers. Thanks, man.
Well, I mean, obviously, you know, I was there at the front row asking for an autograph. And most recently, as the lead role, the lead actor, the guy in ITV's Cockroaches.
Yeah, it was amazing. I did it. It was last year and it went out earlier this year, and it was odd. It was crazy because I'd never done anything, like, never a lead role. Like, even I've done pilots, but never over a series doing a lead role. And so it's nuts, like, coming in every day to act. And, like, it's weird when you film because you got to be up at, like, 5 in the morning and then you get there at 6 and they're like, right, be funny. You're like, okay. And I had to do that day in, day out. But it was amazing. It was brilliant. It was so much fun.
And were you funny?
Was I funny?
Did you deliver?
I think I did. I hope I did. I think when we did the pilot, I did struggle a lot because I, for some reason, I put a lot of pressure on myself. I was like, I really want this. I don't want to fuck it up. And then when it got commissioned and I got there, and then it took me about a week before I just went, actually, I'm here. I've been cast. Obviously, they like me because they could have kicked me off at the pilot. Just enjoy it. And I think since I did that, I just started to enjoy it so much more. And it was so much fun.
It's so much pressure being a lead in something, you know. But then again, also, it's really nice because, like we were saying off air, you know, you get to be like, yo, this is my show, bitch.
Yeah. I'm number one on the call sheet. Yeah. What's for lunch? I'm picking. But it was good, though, because it was, even though, like, I was the lead and it was based around me and my family, so Esther as well. But there was a great ensemble cast, so it made things a whole lot easier. And I made so many friends. And so it kind of took the pressure off as well because you're around other really talented people. And there were some big names in there as well. So it kind of took the pressure off and it kind of made it a more enjoyable experience.
Yeah, and it was absolutely brilliant. Can you still watch it online for people who haven't seen it?
I don't know. Maybe. But you can definitely order it. You can order it
cool.
from
Or bootleg
like,
it.
Yeah,
you know,
I mean, don't do that because I kind of want money from it. I got to live. I got a mortgage.
So, bootleg it and then send him a check.
Yeah. That's fine. Yeah, exactly. Just send me £5 because that would be like half the amount that you'd pay on Amazon or whatever.
Great. There you go. Done. So for people who haven't seen the show and that are going to order it, who are some of the big names that you mentioned that are in there?
So, God, it was so long ago since we filmed it. So we had Rich Hall, we had Jack Whitehall, we had Robert Bathurst, we had Caroline Quinton, we had...
Jamie Winston was in there as well.
Yeah, Jamie Winston was in there as well. And I'm sure there's more, but we filmed it such a long time ago. But those and others, they were amazing. It was so brilliant. And just kind of sitting there, like when we did the room read, and I was, you know, me and Esther were sitting at the top, and then we had all these amazing actors around us, and I was like, how crazy that me and you are like leads in this show and have these other people just kind of surrounded us. It was so weird and That's so great. Surreal. Yeah. But it was amazing, and everyone was really lovely and really helpful and kind of, and also they knew it was our first big thing as well, so they were really supportive and kind of got behind us and stuff like that and made us feel very relaxed and whatnot. So it was good, and the director was good, the writer was brilliant, the production team were great. So
all incredible. And you know what, as you were saying that, it just made me think of the most wonderful segue into our first section, which producer Natalie, are we segueing into our first segment?
Let's do our first segue.
All right, cool. So just, everyone that's heard me on either Doc and Hugh's show before or Michael Payne's show before knows that I like a really good segue. This is my expertise. So Cockroaches is a post-apocalyptic drama comedy, a dramedy, if you will.
Okay.
And it made me it started me thinking, you know, if there was some kind of apocalypse in this world and there was a spaceship that could take us out of it.
Hello, this is good.
Okay, all right, okay. Then maybe we'd end up in space, blah, 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 and our first news piece is about space. Okay, cool.
Really, really good, man. Really
but before,
good.
Thank you. I appreciate that. But so basically, there's a news piece that today I got told about, and you know, I haven't actually. It was one of those bits that people have been tweeting about, and I haven't quite got my head around it yet. Yeah. Because going into space is a crazy. It's a crazy
nuts.
Thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
When you think it's about crazy. It. Britain Tim Peake blasts off for space. So basically, the rocket carrying Britain Tim Peake on his landmark flight to the International Space Station has launched from Kazakhstan. The Soyuz space capsule is carrying Russian Yuri Malenchenko, American Tim Kopra, and Major Tim. Major Tom, as in Tim Peake. Okay, cool, fine. I was like, what? That's a lot of Tims on that flight.
Major Tom.
Come on, two is enough, and three would have... I don't know if I'd have been able to handle that. He'll spend 6 months on the station. So that's three guys, okay? Think about it. Three guys in space.
6 months.
6 months. The former army pilot, that's Big Tim. Big Major Tim, I just made up.
No, he likes
Big
that
Timmy.
Name. Big Tim.
Big Tim. Tims. And the former army pilot is making history as the first official UK astronaut. Liftoff occurred from the launch pad where in 1961 Yuri Gagarin became the first human in space. Peake will spend 7 months on board the ISS, where they should probably change those the acronym, where he will conduct scientific experiments and carry out educational projects designed to attract young people into space. So that's very interesting.
First of all, it was quite amazing how you just kind of let those names roll off your tongue so smooth.
Thanks, I appreciate
yeah,
that. Well,
yeah, it was just, it, I was know. Quite impressed. I was reading along and I was like, oh, you're just.
It was because they're my mates.
Oh, I see. Okay. Yeah. I'm surprised that you didn't go up with these guys because there was talks about you.
Yeah, well, actually, initially it was, but my name isn't Tim, so they didn't let me on.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a shame. What, didn't you think you know, maybe you could have changed it? Or
Do I look like a Tim?
Timbo. You could be like a. I can see you as a Timbo.
Tim Wheezy.
Yeah. I see you as one of those guys. Tim Wheezy.
Lil Timmy. Yeah, possibly.
The sheer thought of going up to space for 6 months, like, in some ways it would be amazing. Like, it must be the most incredible experience.
Yeah.
And then, like, the first week or so, you're like, God, this is incredible. And then week two, you're like... Yeah, okay, yeah, this is nice. Week three. Okay, yeah. Yeah, I get it. And then you've still got another 5 months. Just like, it's home time now, surely.
Yep.
It's like a holiday. Like, you don't really want more than 3 weeks, really, in one place. It's like, after one and two, you're just like, yeah, I've seen enough sand and enough sea. Let's go home now. Yeah. I don't know how they're gonna do it.
No, I don't know, especially with two other guys.
Yeah.
You know? Like, I don't get it. I couldn't do it. I prefer the company of ladies.
Yeah.
I think they're way better.
Yeah.
Way more fun.
Yeah.
Doing it with two guys, especially two guys called Tim, sorry, I'm not getting over that.
Yeah.
I think that would just be a fucking nightmare, if I'm honest. A Briton, a Russian, and an American walk into a space station. Surely there should be some kind of joke.
There's a joke there.
There is. Give us a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Give us 6 months.
Get cracking. Yes.
6 months.
When they land, we'll be like, we got the perfect joke for you.
What have you been doing for 6 months? Yeah. I know what I've been doing. So there you go. So they're in space for six whole months, as you rightly said. That would be an absolute fucking nightmare. Unless, you know, so, we were having a discussion earlier, like, possibly started to think about who we would spend 6 months with if we were trapped in a space station or something, you know. Have you thought about who you could do that with.
Yeah, see, that's, it's a tricky one, because in some ways you're like, could it be like, do you want to go with your best friend, or do you just want to go with someone completely random, and then kind of, and then you're forced to get to know them? Do you know what I mean? I don't know. I genuinely don't know, because 6 months is such a long time. Such a long time.
Yeah.
Do you have someone?
Well, you know, I was thinking about it on the way here, and I was thinking it's kind of like a tour situation. So any tour that I've done is, you know, the most I've been on tour is like 6 weeks, and you go in there and you're thrown into a situation where there's like 30 individuals that you don't know who they are. It's like a school trip, and you've got, okay, we're in, stuck in these tour buses, and essentially some kind of like capsule for 6 weeks, and you get to know them really, really well, and some people you really hate, and then some people you just imagine would die slowly, and then other ones you're like, okay, great, these are my friends for life. So I quite like the idea of going into space with people you don't know, so you can spend 6 months getting to know them, and then hopefully they're not dickheads.
But it's slightly different though, because you've got 30 people, so that's enough, like that. The numbers are quite good that you're going to find people that you like. Three, that's a risk. Do you know what I mean? Like, because if you don't like one of them, you're screwed. Like, you're just going to be talking to yourself, chilling, Netflix and chilling by yourself, just in the corner, like not engaging with anyone. And so I don't know.
No, that's a good point.
I think you'd probably want to take someone that you do know, or someone that's fascinating. Do you know what I mean?
Precisely.
And learn something from as well.
Precisely. Like, I think I would like to take someone that's really like a yoga master, or like, or even a like a Krav Maga master, because then they could wake up every morning and teach you some shit.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you got 6 months later, you're just like a ninja.
Yeah. However, but only a ninja in space. It's going to be pointless, because you're when you come back down to Earth, you're going to be doing everything in slow motion. And by that point, they would have already taken your wallet and kicked you to the floor.
Oh, that's a really good point. Okay, well, maybe someone who can teach you Spanish or something.
Okay, yeah.
That'd
so
be great.
You can come back all fluent and stuff
exactly.
like that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But then you'll come back and realise that the world's ended anyway, and then there's no point. Well, I'm guessing we could get people to email in.
Yeah, they can email in hd@foodbarradio.com.
Excellent.
And they can tweet at Foodbar Radio.
And please do, and tell us who you'd like to go into space with. Can someone say me, because that would make me feel really good about myself and validate everything. So thanks for that. And please do, basically later on, before we move, I'm guessing to another song, before we move into that, I've got a little discussion point that I want you to email in about. Okay, it's a segment that I made up minutes before the show.
Aren't you going to segue into this?
Oh, I was going to, because you mentioned Netflix and chill, which is a phrase that I'm slowly disliking, because so many people, I've loved it to begin with, and I was like, oh, yo, I know that. And then and then now everyone started saying it a lot, you know, and then like Danny said off air, he was like, you had to explain it to someone, right?
Yeah. They had no idea what it meant, and it was very weird, because their son was there, who is 12, and he knew exactly what it was. So he started pissing himself laughing. She was like, what? What's so funny? What, Netflix and... I always Netflix and chill. I'm like, okay. Too much information, but thank you.
Too much. Well, so I, as we were discussing this off air, I wanted to ask you wonderful listeners out there to tweet and email in about the new segment, Menage Uno. All right. What are you... Because, you know, winter's a lonely season, all right? It's cuffing season. Everyone's trying to find that lady or the guy to, you know, keep them warm over those cold winter nights. But in all reality, we're going to be there on our own, all right? We're going to be having a candlelit menage uno with Netflix. So email in what you are looking forward to most watching over this Christmas period on your own whilst crying, okay? That's what we want. That's what we want. More tears, the better. So we got our next song.
Oh, and we've got guests as well, haven't we?
Oh, we do have guests. How could I even forget?
Yeah.
Oh.
Danny, be my guest. Tell us about the first guest.
The first guest is Mr. Nick Helm.
Wow.
Who I co-star with in Uncle. Mm. He's a very, very funny man and a very, very nice man as well.
Whoa.
So that's our first guest.
Fantastic. I'm excited about that. And the second guest is... the wonderful Adian Coker, who is a brilliant new rapper artist, who is going to come in and talk to us about his new music and play one of his tunes, which I'm very excited about. So next up, we have a song that I believe is Booker T. Jones.
Boom.
As you know, ladies and gentlemen, need no Booker T. Let's give him a big round of applause. On Argin, on Argin, on Argin, on Argin, on Argin, 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 Argin,
you are tuned in to FUBAR Radio with myself, The Last Skeptic, and Daniel Taylor.
Word.
And that was Booker T. Jones of Sound the Alarm featuring Mayor Hawthorne. So, Danny, we have a couple emails.
Yes, we do. So, who would people like to go up into space with? We have George from Brixton says, I'd take Katie Hopkins up there and then punch her out of a window. She doesn't belong on our planet. I mean, in some ways, I think we all would. I mean, you'd kind of have to sacrifice yourself at the same time.
Yeah,
but
course.
It's worth it. If George doesn't mind
of
sacrificing course. Himself, I'm fully on board with that. I would pay money, all my cockroach money from DVD sales, I will give to you, George, so we can do just that.
I feel like there's, you know, in those films, you get that containment section of a spaceship where you kind of put people and then it's box whatever and then gravitizes, well, I don't know the word,
you know.
Sue me.
Yeah.
And then it goes and then they shoot him off.
Yeah.
So they have to do something with all the shit.
Yeah, that's true. So you'd kind of put Katie in there.
Yeah.
Then like just let that kind of separate.
Lure her in with some kind of hate speech, like going, Katie, you can punch some people you don't like.
There's some immigrants in here.
Yeah, that's
in
it. You can turn them off. Go there. She's like, oh shit, let's go in there.
There's immigrants in here.
Yeah, done.
All right, I'm full on board with that. I know we're joking and whatnot, but I'm fully on board with it.
I know we're joking, but let's make it happen.
Yeah. I would go into, this is Susie from Essex, I would go into space with producer Nat and Dan. Sorry, Skepta.
Do they call me Skepta? That's
no,
even better.
No, they call you Skeppers.
Skeppers, that's Skeppers. Even better. That's fine. All right, well.
Sorry.
Well,
sorry.
That's maybe you'd be lying. Maybe quite sad.
We're not as we're going into space. Sorry, mate.
Well, that's a bit upsetting. I'm not sharing my Yorkie with any of you.
Harry says three guys in space is going to look like a snow globe up there.
I don't get it. I don't get it. I think you should email in and explain why.
Yeah. Tim from London.
Tim, or maybe another Tim.
It may be Tim up there. He said, emailing that he's pretending. Maybe he's over London. Tim over London. I'd take Hulk Hogan with me to space and leave him there to do him, me, and the world a favour. Wow.
What's he done to you?
Do you know what? I used to love Hulk Hogan until like he kind of got kicked off like the WWF or WWE Wall of Fame because he said something very, very racist.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah, and I think that's why people don't like... I don't know if this is a reason why Tim Over London dislikes him. I think it might be because he's just an annoying man. He's a reality TV show.
Really, like, just really red. Really red.
I used to be obsessed with Hulk Hogan when I was younger. I adored him and Ultimate Warrior.
Ultimate Warrior was the guy.
Yeah. But all of these, and Hulk Hogan is probably the only one still alive. Mm. And I think that's why people hate him. Everyone else kind of died in their glory years. Whereas Hulk Hogan's just hanging
on. He's still there.
Just, annoying people and being racist.
Yeah, really racist.
He had a horrible sex tape as well.
Did he?
Oh.
Wow.
Not released. I mean, there's a lot of reasons not to like him now, really. Racism number one.
How many hours of Googling did it take for you to find that?
Hours.
But you got there.
Disgusting. There. Yeah. Get it out of my eyes.
I had to watch like all 35 minutes.
When was this made?
I haven't got all that. I can research.
Yeah, please,
Dave. I don't have all the facts.
Great, because cool. I'm really hoping it when he was younger, because if this is like in the last like couple of years, that's really disgusting.
I mean, it's disgusting at any stage, I feel.
Well, I mean, you say that, at least, you know, when like Kim Kardashian makes one, it's like she's in the prime of her sexuality. Do you know what I mean? Hulk Hogan, I mean, he's probably pushing on what, 90 now?
When is Hulk Hogan in his prime for you?
Well, when he was on
the prime of his sexuality, Danny.
When I was deeply sexually aroused by Hulk Hogan. It would have been in the 1920s.
Great. Well, email and tweet in when you think Hulk Hogan was in the prime of his sexuality. hd@foobarradio.com.
Steve from London. I'd take loads and loads of bags of crisps.
Yeah, good shout.
Then open them up in zero gravity and proceed to eat them like Homer Simpson, gliding around gracefully.
I like that.
I think I'd do the same. Probably Maltesers or something chocolate based.
Oh, yeah. But no, because then it gets a bit sticky.
Well,
you don't know what the temperature's like up there as well.
That's true. But I imagine it being quite cold. Possibly. It's just really cold. And also, look, don't ruin my dreams.
Sorry. Christ. You know what upset me the most about being in a space station is that I couldn't do a puzzle.
How often do you do puzzles?
I don't know. I might do in that 6 months.
That's true. You've got
6 months
up
there. Because if you start doing a puzzle, the bits will float everywhere and, you know, like, it'd be very difficult. And then, unless it's a magnetic puzzle, now we're talking.
Oh, maybe it could be quite handy because if they're floating around, that means that you get to see the pieces and you can kind of just, like, push them into the direction before, like, sellotaping them down afterwards.
Put it on the ceiling.
Yeah. Okay,
float
cool.
up to the ceiling.
Yes. Yeah, cool. There you go. And the challenge, because it's 6 months as well, that's even more of a challenge.
Yeah, true.
There you go. See,
I feel like I'd think of good games in 6 months, you know? I feel like I'd invent some new great games.
what would they be, like, from things around you or...
Yeah, just from, you know, from stuff.
Yeah.
Stuff that's up there that I find.
I suppose you could play, like... No, I was going to say you could play I Spy. That's the worst game. It's just... it's literally Earth, space...
Stars.
Yeah, stars. Yeah.
Something beginning with S, guys.
Yeah.
Guys, I promise it's different to last time. I promise.
I hate this game. I've been playing it for 6 months.
imagine being the guy that's not named Tim. Sorry, I'm not getting over it.
Josie from Greenwich says, "I'd take my cats up into space just to see their little faces light up."
Oh, that's nice.
That's quite sweet. I don't feel that they'd appreciate it though. I don't know if they're
light up with rocket fuel or what are we talking about?
I don't know. I just think because that would be quite sweet. No, that is actually quite a sweet thing actually. I think I'm thinking of like, because you wouldn't want to waste the space. But then again, I suppose you taking your cats up is not really wasting the space because they deserve to see the wonders of the universe just like anyone else.
They really do.
I take that back. I'm really sorry, Josie. I agree with that.
Okay, cool. Really do they get little space helmets?
Yeah. Like really small designed space. That is entertaining me just thinking about.
Yeah, that's it. Tiny cat helmets.
They probably exist, you know.
Really? I hope they do.
Giggle. I'd take a shitload of glitter and make space pretty. I'd take you, Skepta.
Skepta?
Yeah, Skepta.
Whoa, sure. Take Skepta with you. He's a really good rapper.
And I'd take us up a nice Christmas dinner. Would be very romantic. We could float around and eat gravy from the air.
Is this Skepta?
Yeah, Skepta. This is you.
Oh no, Skeptic or Skepta?
Oh, this is Skepta. But I'm sure I think he means that she means you.
Okay, cool. Well, I don't mind. Maybe it's I wouldn't want them to take Skepta because then he couldn't do any more records and he's pretty good.
Yeah, true.
But if they take me, then I can't put out any more records and that's probably for the best of everyone else.
Do you like roast dinners?
I do like roast dinners.
There you go. All the gravy in the world.
Yeah, but is that one roast dinner or roast dinner every day for 6 months?
That's
going to get a bit boring.
Huh? Oh, yeah. No. You only want one roast dinner a week.
Mm. But I think that you can kind of sort out the logistics whilst you're up there. Yeah. Mix it up. I suppose you have to, then again, you have to take everything with you when you're going up there.
Yeah, and all the pans and stuff. It's quite... And is there a big enough oven?
Yeah,
so
God.
So they have an oven. Then they have the liquid food out of packs.
That's
they
true.
They don't really have a full Argo or something actually. Up there. Yeah. So microwave. I don't think they have that.
Well, maybe it'd be like just like in like a tray, like a aeroplane kind of dinner kind of.
Yeah, a microwave.
Yeah.
Slot it in. Oh, you know, what about, wasn't it Star Trek? They had that machine where you could just go boop, 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 and it just got, you know, and it creates whatever food that you want.
Guys, we can do whatever we want. It's our spaceship.
True,
if that's what we want.
That's a good point. Yeah.
Do you like yoga though? Because when you said, I take my yoga instructor, well, do you have a yoga instructor?
No, I don't.
But what if you got up there and you discovered day two you don't like yoga and you're up there for 6 months with a yoga instructor?
I'd just have to like yoga. I mean, what is it? Major Tim. I bet he likes yoga. Surely.
He doesn't like yoga.
Major Tim. But I don't know. I think they would have to have more than one expertise. You know what I mean? We couldn't just have a guy that's good at yoga. He'd have to also be good at, you know, frisbeeing or something. You know, something else that he could teach me that would be really good when I'd get back. Or looking after fish in such an amazing way that, you know, they become mega fish or something. Or...
Hopefully he'd be good at fixing a spacecraft in case something happens.
All right, true.
Yeah.
Good point. Really good point. Well, what I also don't get is the International Space Station. I thought there was loads of people on there because it's like the UN or something.
I think it's like, I think people rotate from it. And so I'm guessing it's like off-peak season. It's just a handful of people coming home for the holidays.
That's why Britain are flying out of Kazakhstan and why Britain can't afford to go because it's off-peak season
in
space.
Yeah. So, you know, your Oyster, tap that on the space machine and get taken all the way up there.
Bless them. Oh, that's really nice. Great. Well, do not forget to email and tweet us in your Menage Uno recommendations, what you're going to be doing on your own, crying and weeping desperately into your computer screen over the Christmas season. Natalie, what's your Menage Uno recommendation?
Oh, what am I into? I like Six Feet Under if we're going back. If we take it back in time for it. Or Twin Peaks.
Twin Peaks is excellent.
Twin Peaks. I'd go Twin Peaks, actually, yeah.
Not seen either, though.
Twin Peaks is...
I know. Shame on me. Oh. I know. I'm appalled with myself. I know this already, guys. I'm sorry.
Wow. I actually met Ray Wise from Twin Peaks.
Leland Palmer.
yeah, it's late last year, about this time last year in LA, and I was on set of my mate's TV show, and the special guest was Ray Wise, Leland Palmer, and I said to her, I was like, oh, I've just finished watching Twin Peaks. I need to meet him. And so she set it up, and you know, he filmed his scene, and then he came off, and then he was like, hey, Karin, I'm Ray. And then he's like, I was like, And then we took a bunch of selfies, and it was all right. And then he came back. He did another scene. Came back, and he goes, "Hey, Karin, those pictures we took, I didn't like them. Let's do some others." And then
really?
He just like he got like the director to take, you know, and this is a director of Captain America 2, like all these things, and he just like stood there taking all these photos of us. I was like, "You are a good guy."
Yeah. What show is he doing now?
I don't know what he's filming now, but that one, he was filming a show called Agent Carter.
Marvel.
Yeah. That was really good. Yeah, and he guested in that. Good guy. Great guy.
What would yours
I
be?
Wouldn't know. I don't know him.
What do you think about it?
Yeah. God, I love Twin Peaks. That scene where there's the peaks and there's they look the same.
And there's two of them. Yeah.
Well, they're twins.
What?
I know. Tell me about it. Identical peaks. what would mine be? What have I been watching? I love It's Always Sunny. That's my show. I adore that show. It's so good. So good.
Does it get better after the first episode?
Yeah.
Did you not like the first episode?
I watched the first episode, and it's one of the ones that I watched it, and I got so like, oh, this is, I can't.
Really?
Yeah, I left it.
No, I mean, it does get better, but number one is a brilliant episode as well. I think you have to wait to kind of fall in love with the characters because they're such horrible characters.
Yeah. Right.
That's what you love about them.
And then Danny DeVito joins in the second season.
Yeah.
Right.
And he's brilliant. Yeah, he's so amazing in it. And I think he adds to the dynamic of all of them. But yeah,
okay. All right, I'm going to give that another go.
Do. It's a goodie.
All right, no,
it's
I will. we were just talking about The Bridge, which is the greatest show ever.
Yeah.
Which I've not watched that then.
Well,
we have seen it.
Oh, okay.
We have seen it. And what we'd like to do actually with you, Daniel Lawrence Taylor, is we're going to discuss it maybe for. Between me and Nat for maybe like 30 seconds to 46 seconds.
Okay. A minute.
Maybe a minute, possibly, who knows.
All right.
And then I want you to describe what you think the show is about.
All right, cool.
So The Bridge, if you haven't seen it, it's a Scandinavian show.
Mm-hmm. BBC 4.
I'm going to make some notes.
It's really incredible. Stars a detective called Saga Norrin, or Sega.
Sega
Norrin.
As in
brilliant.
Like the computer.
As in Sega. The computer, right. Yeah. Solving crimes, sometimes grisly.
She wears leather trousers.
Leather trousers feature prominently.
All the time.
Feature prominently, all right.
Emotionless, you could describe her as.
Yeah, in all aspects, including the bedroom, which we see quite a lot.
The bedroom.
Wow.
Okay. Features prominently.
I saw a tweet that you sent the other day about that you were a big fan of Saga, and I knew which scene it was. Wasn't it? It was the scene where she went in and said, I just want to have sex with you. No kissing. Plenty of oral. I like missionary and I'll just get into position. And as soon as I saw that, I thought, I bet you that is the scene that you've seen. Is that right? Would that
you
be correct?
You have such a lowly opinion of me.
But
yeah, that was one.
So she has a partner.
She has... Yeah, well... Different partners. Yeah, well, not sexual. I mean, she does.
Well, they can be sexual.
They can be sexual. Mm-hmm. Okay. Different detective partners.
Yeah.
And I think, well, that's about it. I mean, do you have any questions, Daniel Lawrence Taylor?
No, I think you've described it perfectly, actually.
Okay, cool.
So I think I'm...
What's it about?
Well, it's a Scandinavian drama.
How did you know?
How did you get that?
Yeah, well, just detective work, which leads me into my next sentence. It's about a detective called Saga, and she mainly does detective work from her bedroom, which most of the crimes take place in. They're of a sexual nature. And in order to get into the mindset she has to have sex with people. So, catchphrase is I want to have sex with you.
It's a great catchphrase.
Similar to my own.
And in every single episode, she takes off her leather trousers and has emotionless sex with people. And that is The Bridge.
Okay, cool.
Nailed it, didn't it?
Thank you.
I think you nailed it in one. So if you're thinking of your menage a uno this Christmas, consider The Bridge.
It's good. It actually really sold it well. I think a lot of people would go, yeah, I'm going to watch that
really
now.
Really sold
that's
it well.
That's the show.
And that segues beautifully into another song.
We're going to play the song. We should just give a quick shout out because Doc Brown has tweeted, hasn't he?
Oh, that guy.
That guy.
He just said, don't fuck it up. Oh. But you're not, so...
I mean, it depends what his notion of fucking it up is.
Exactly.
He could mean it like fucking shit up, as in a really good thing, as he doesn't want us to out-dock him on his own show.
Out-dock him.
Yeah.
Nice, yeah. I like that.
So maybe we're doing that. Hey. Ben Bailey-Smith, if that is your real name.
We've also got the Nick Helm interview coming up straight after this, which you weren't around for earlier.
I was hiding in the corner, very quietly.
Yeah, very quiet.
We wouldn't let you in.
Yeah, I wasn't allowed in.
But I was here, and I interviewed him. And it was very, very lovely.
He was.
So you'll be hearing that a little bit later.
Fantastic.
Coming up just next after this song, which is the theme to The Bridge.
So we're going to go into Choir of Young Believers, Hollow Talk.
Echo start as it crosses me. Trembling noises that come too soon. Special moon which seems to me resonating a mask of fear. Hollow talk in a hollow gun. Thoughts set off on the road of pain. Never said it was good, never said it was near. Shadow rises when you are here. Back to the beginning. Silence ceases a clouded room. Light is shed, not a breath too soon. Darkness rises in all you do. Steady your jaw and then cross the room. Spatial movements are born of life. Shadows scatter without a fire. It's never been bad, there has always been true. Muted whisper of things you was good, never said it was near. Muted whisper the things you feel.
Doug Brown and Hugh Joseph on the Tuesday Roundup on FUBAR Radio.
Hello, I am Daniel and I'm covering for Doc and Hugh, and I'm here with Nick Helm.
Is that how you're going to do it?
Yeah. This slowly, because that way I have less questions, so I can really spread out this interview.
That's really good. Yeah, you've got 40 minutes with me, so let's cool.
So that's about
it.
Three questions.
Yeah.
Sweet. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
How are you?
I'm all right, yeah. How are you?
I'm not too bad, actually. Where are you coming from?
Where am I coming from?
Mm-hmm.
Around the corner.
Oh, okay. What's around the corner?
That's where I live. Good. Yeah.
Nice.
I live really near. I'm one of those guests where you can call me at the last minute, and if I've got nothing on, I can come in. Although I have been busy, haven't I?
Have you? Oh, where have
yeah,
you been?
Yeah, I've been in hot. You've been asking me a lot, and this is like one of the only. And they said, "What? Daniel Taylor's there." Daniel Taylor. I said, "Of course I'll be there."
Yeah, obviously, because you love me, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Good. Yeah. What have you been up to?
Oh,
like career wise.
Oh, right.
There you go.
Because I was cleaning my bath earlier. I've had quite a busy year. I did a tour in the autumn, a minor tour. Yeah, got lost in a labyrinth. So we just went around the north of England, which I hadn't done any touring before, so it was really nice. That was really nice. And then, I don't know. Oh, I've been writing cool. Some TV stuff.
And nice, that's nice. Good.
And, yeah, it's just lots of little things.
Nice.
They're not that little, though.
Yeah, they're quite big. Because you did Live at the Apollo the other day.
Yeah, I did, yeah.
I read what you said about it, and then I watched it today, and it looked like you did amazingly well. Like, honestly, like...
On a performance level?
Yeah.
It's amazing, yeah.
I mean, it'd probably explain what actually happened.
I don't know. Because the Live at the Apollo thing... I was on Joel Dommett's podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Joel Dommett is a very sweet man.
Yeah.
He's got a podcast and he came along, and the idea is that you tell a story on his podcast, and then his mate does like a music score underneath it later on. So he'll go away, he'll tell a story, like a sad story, and then his mate will go away and put a score underneath it. And I couldn't think of anything, so I just told him about my gig at the Apollo, which I did like at the end of September this mm-hmm. year. And I had a really tough time when I did it. So I told this story, which I think is funny. You know, it was obviously at the time I found it horrific, but I've sort of like learnt to deal with it. And to do it on stage, it's part of my routine now. I've got like a stand-up routine about when I did Live at the Apollo. So it's fine, and I've dealt with it in a sort of like a mature way, and I've sort of like owned this awful thing that I felt like it was such a difficult gig for me, and it was so humiliating for me, and I've somehow managed to sort of like come out the other side by kind of like talking about it, right?
Yeah.
So I talked to Joel about it like last week, and I knew that the Apollo was coming out, and he said yeah, so we've got loads of other comedians that have already done this, so you're like fourth in the line. And I thought, well, that's fine, because by the time that this podcast gets released, the Apollo will have been on, and that's fine. And then Joel, because you know he's a fucking idiot, right, he released the podcast like a week before I did Live at the Apollo, and then it just like, what the fuck are you doing, man? And I thought, it's fine, because it's a new podcast, and it's on like probably, you know, it'll just slip through the cracks and no one will know about it. I won't like cause a fuss or anything. I won't kind of like make a big thing about it. It'll be fine. I'll just ignore it. It'll be fine. And then fucking Chortle, right? they take the podcast. They barely mention that it was part of a podcast. They barely mention anything about it. They take it completely out of context, and then they write it up like it's this world exclusive interview that they had with me. And it's just like, actually, I refused an interview with you about it. It was just so fucking annoying. And that came out, and then basically it's, yeah. So it was already something that I was dreading. I was dreading to see what, like, the Apollo, like, how it would come out. And then Chortle just made it into this fucking thing, and you just think, right, that's it. You've burnt your bridges. You've burnt your bridges. Yeah, type this one up. So, yeah, I was kind of a bit sort of, like, peeved.
Yeah, fair enough. Mm. But, like, seeing the final product, though, it's so opposite of what was written.
Yeah, I know, but it's part of a routine.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's part of a stand-up routine where obviously you're kind of like... basically, the angle of the routine is talking about how I died a horrific death on Live at the Apollo, right? Which, you know, it's kind of like it's me being self-deprecating and modest and all of those things. You know, it was a tough gig. People did laugh, but other people didn't enjoy it, right? But at the end of the day, you're making a TV show, and it's always been a TV show, and that's just how TV works. It's just kind of like so. But I think what's come out of it that's really good is that because I didn't watch it last night. I went me and Roisin were terrified of Live at the Apollo coming out, so we went to see Cats together. So we hid at the Palladium, but so this was last night, right? So we went to see Cats because what did I see? I saw fucking the Bodyguard, right? So it was my mum's birthday, right? And we went to see like a couple of years ago, and we took her to see the Bodyguard and the musical, and it's got Beverly Knight in it. Mm-hmm. And we all sit down and we get to the Bodyguard and we're sat in these kind of like fairly shit seats that are like top circle because my dad bought the tickets, and kind of we sat there, and I'm just thinking, oh god, this is going to be like the next like 2.5 hours of my life. What a fucking I've seen the film.
you know what's going to happen.
A massive Kevin Costner fan, but he's not in this. He's not going to be here, right? So he's just thinking, oh shit, this is going to be the most tedious pile of shit I've ever seen. They open up with Queen of the Night, right? Which is like a song
for Queen of the Night. Yeah. Classic.
And like it literally just blew my nuts off. It was just
really?
Absolutely phenomenal. And then like so the Bodyguard as if it was a play, as a play, you know, it's a pile of shit, right? But fucking hell. Like Beverly Knight was just absolutely phenomenal. Just on it's a mediocre play, right?
Yeah.
But with the music, it was like everyone gave it a standing ovation. Do you know what I mean? It was just like she was so amazing. So she'd just done Memphis, and I'd been like really desperate to see Memphis, but I never got around to it. And then she and I hate cats. Right? I'm allergic to real cats. Right? I hate cats, and I hate Cats the musical. I saw it when I was probably about 11, and oh geez. It's like a series of non-connected songs about cats where they're coming out and go, you know, singing a sad song about a cat that likes sardines, and it's like it's so specifically about cats. It's not a metaphor. Do you know what I mean? It's a song specifically about a cat, and you go, "This is absolute shit," right? And then fucking Beverly Knight comes out and she sings Memories and just absolutely just knocks it. And then you go, "It was worth it. It was worth it. It was worth
memories.
Just for Beverly Knight coming out and saying that." She was so amazing.
Because doesn't that cat only appear like only at few intervals, because she's not really in it.
Hardly in it.
Yeah, like she just comes out at the end.
She comes out at the end of the first part, and she's basically bullied all the way through it. Every time she comes on, all of these kind of like drama students get at her.
Yeah, all of that. Yeah.
Oh, fuck off, mate. So she comes out at the end of the first half and she sings a little bit of like Memories.
Yeah.
And you go, oh, is that it? Is that it? Because it really didn't do it for me. And then she comes on at the end and she sings Memories. And I'm not joking, all of the skin on my body tingled.
Really?
And I got like goosebumps. And she was just like, she was just phenomenal. Like, it's just like the best thing. Like, it'd be worth going to see Cat. I mean, I'm not, but Beverly Knight's, who knew that I would be this massive Beverly Knight fan? And it's just kind of, but she's so amazing. And she's doing that. She's playing at the Palladium in March or May.
Wow.
And
I'm definitely,
they had flyers. And I'm like, yeah, I'm there. I'm definitely going.
Weirdly, I do love Cats. I think it's a brilliant
musical.
I genuinely,
oh, really?
I'm not bullshitting.
No story. There's no story.
I know. I think I just love the dancing.
What
and the
dance is the worst bit.
Really? No. I've never actually ever seen it live on stage. Oh, I've really? Only seen the video. I've never ever seen
you're
it on stage.
You're such a fucking loser.
I know. Of all the musicals to love, like that is one of my favourite musicals.
No, right.
That and Muppet Christmas Carol.
That's not the same thing, man. That's not the same. I mean, you can't discern between two things.
They're both musicals. They're both like
you're an idiot.
Plays with music in it. So
the Muppets Christmas Carol
is incredible.
It's not a play with music in it, right? It's
what?
A film.
Yeah, okay.
It's a film.
Yeah, but you still singing. Put it in like a musical context, wouldn't you?
Mate, it's
like
not, it's
that
not the same
or...
thing. It's not the same thing. You can compare Miss Saigon,
yeah.
Phantom of the Opera,
yeah.
Les Miserables, Cats, Muppets Christmas Carol. No. You're a fucking idiot.
No, only because Muppet Christmas Carol has never been on stage. Like they've never
prick,
staged it. If they put a stage version of that on, you know, I think that would be incredible. And technically, it would be a musical. I think the only thing that separates Cats from Muppet Christmas Carol is quality for a lot of people,
yeah.
And also the fact that one's a film and one's was on stage first
you're
before.
An idiot.
I watched the Joanne Page version. Is that who it was?
Elaine Page.
That's the one.
The thing that you've seen is not a film. It is a recording of a live event.
True.
Right?
True.
Cats
but then,
isn't a film.
Yeah, but then because you still have like you could convert stuff like Annie. Annie's a brilliant one, or Oliver, or those are all stage versions that became.
Yeah, but there's no story to Cats other than a
well,
bunch
there
of
is.
Cat,
no,
a bunch
because
of cats.
What's her name? Your love of your life, Beverly Knight. At the end, she kind of comes out. Isn't the whole story about her a cat that's an outcast?
All right, okay.
And then she ascends, not to ruin it for anyone, because everyone's going to run home.
She gets on a fucking spaceship and
flies
off.
Yeah, this not a spaceship. Doesn't
how
she go to heaven? No, she goes to heaven.
Yeah, but Cats is mental, right? The first half, nothing happens. It's just boring. They all come out and introduce themselves, right? And then in the second half, right, there's sort of like an old actor. Actor cat, right? Who has this half-hour flashback of when he was a young actor cat that was performing in Victorian London, right? So it's like, how fucking old is this cat? He's like 130, 40 years old, right? And he's like performing in Victorian London to what you can pretty much assume to be human audience members. It's just kind of like, what is this? And then at the end, Beverly Knight gets on a spaceship and flies off.
It's I think
just,
you're looking at this way too deep.
It's
I mean,
mental. Man.
Yeah, there's not a story, but there's kind of a story. And how could you not love, like, Mr. Mistoffelees?
Oh, Mr. Mistoffelees is a cunt.
Oh, wow. Okay, now I'm just offended now.
I fucking hate Mr. Mistoffelees.
I'm offended
I hated
now.
Him. I fucking
right,
hate him.
Let's not talk about Cats.
Right,
anymore.
So what was funny about Cats, right, is that, so me and Roisin were going, Roisin Connerty, who was also on Live at the Apollo, and she's late, right? She's always late. So I turned up to see Cats.
By yourself?
By myself. I was by myself. And I went in and I went down to the... And right, so when I was booking it, right, I said to Roisin, oh, don't worry, I'll book it. But I ended up booking it, like, really last minute, right? And I got, like, third row seats, right? But what I didn't realise is that in the Palladium, they've taken out the front two rows. So I got front row seats. I went right down to the front. I went right down to the front. Everyone that was sat next to me recognised me, right? I walked down to the front, and then basically I left an empty chair, an empty seat between me and the people that were next to me, right?
That's for you, Beverly.
So it was me sat on my own in the Palladium, front row to watch Cats. It was just like, I mean, I just texted her and I said, you better get this in because I don't think my self-esteem can handle this. It was so bad.
What could have Beverly recognised you from all of our other shows? And just went, oh wow, I've he loves me that much.
Like in The Bodyguard.
Yeah. The same guy, and he's here by himself, front row.
Yeah, like in the film though, like in The Bodyguard, like I'm her stalker, and then all of a sudden Kevin Costner comes out. It's great.
Oh god,
great stuff.
But no, I think I did love Live at the Apollo. So well done, and it looks
Thank
incredible.
You.
Like
Thank
it
you.
Looks.
Oh, I
Brilliant.
Think. Well, I think that because I sing. What did I sing? Don't Fall in Love with Me on that.
Yes, yeah.
And
yeah.
I think that's almost like the. I think that's almost the best I've ever sung anything on telly. It's just, but it was such a. Because I was so relieved by that point because there was like a click track to sing over, but you know you couldn't hear the silence. But like, but so I was singing. So I think the song was really good, and I think that like from a performance level, I think that, you know you couldn't tell that I was having a panic attack.
Yeah.
yeah. So it was good.
It's funny, like, we did one of those.
And they did an amazing job. They did an amazing job, like, putting it together.
Yeah. Well, that's it. I think that's the beauty of those
shows.
That's
the thing that pissed me off about the Chortle thing, because it looked like I was starting a fight, but in actual fact...
No, it wasn't so much that. I haven't read it. No,
I'm just assuming the absolute worst.
No, they literally just said that you said that you had the worst gig of your life, and you divided the audience. And then it also spoke about, like,
a thousand people leaving. Oh, yeah, well, you know, I mean, that's ridiculous for a start. 1,000 people never leave. But then the other thing is, when we were filming live at the Electric, I think the recording of that started at 7:30. And then by the time the band was on, what would happen was they'd do all of the sketches that were live, and they'd project sketches on the back of the screen to get the audience reaction and laughter for it.
Yeah.
Right, so they'd do that, and then they'd finish the show, and then there'd be like 15 minutes where they set up the band, and then the band would come out, and I'd come out to do my Live at the Electric recordings, and while I was on stage, everyone left. Do you know what I mean?
Because
we were on about 10:30, 10:40, that's in the middle of Shepherd's Bush. So everyone gets up and leaves and gets the last tubes home. Meanwhile, like, if you zoom in, you can see my dreams dying in my eyes. But like, the Live at the Electric was a really tough gig for us because we had to go on last every time.
We had to do
each song twice so that they could get multiple camera angles. So that was really tough. It's just one of those things. I mean, it's like a non-news event, really.
Yeah, I mean, I think all those gigs are... I remember me and Eric doing Ginger and Black. We did one of those years ago, and it was for a show on Paramount. And the guy just said to us, like, this is not... Like, don't treat it... It's a stand-up gig, but it's not going to go as well as a stand-up gig. And he just explained, because we were on a list of, like, 20 comedians, everyone doing 10 minutes. No one wants to sit through that much comedy in one evening. So by the end, anyone that was on the tail end, we were all right because we were early on, but everyone at the tail end just got complete silence, loads of people left. But everyone had to kind of go out, tits and teeth, so it could still look good on camera.
Yeah, but you're making telly. I mean, but also, interestingly, when I did Heavy Entertainment, The very first gig was the Dreams episode that I did on that. Mm. And that was probably the best gig I've ever had in my entire life.
Really?
But it was really difficult to edit. And then we filmed that on a Tuesday. And then on the Friday, we filmed the War episode, which was, the audience were hot, they were drunk, they were tired. It was just impossible. It was just a really difficult gig to film. But in the edit, it was easy because you could just like piece it all together a lot easier.
Yeah.
So you know, it doesn't. It's the difference between seeing something like, you can't, in terms of like what we do. I mean, doing a live event, you can't really beat it. But you know, not having, from a performance point of view, not having the pressure of this gig having to count because you're filming it.
Yeah.
You know, and just being able to go out and enjoy it. I mean, live is always better. I mean,
to
performing on TV, but I mean...
Yeah, it's tricky. If you can somehow, like, adapt it so the cameras are secondary, so you do try your best to set up as much as a gig as possible and try and have cameras move around it without unsettling it too much, it can work a bit. But some of those shows is where you kind of have to stop halfway through because they got a repo and you got someone else coming in to tell jokes to kind of keep everyone fresh.
Yeah, the warm-up.
And then you come
man.
Back on. Yeah, and all of that. That's the word, thank you. And all of that stuff. And I think that sometimes can slow down the pace of things and make it feel stuttery. But at the same time, you know.
When we did Live at the Electric, not Live at the Apollo, but Live at the Electric, there was a huge kind of like gap between the stage and the audience where you've got all these cameras in between. So you've got like a trench in between you and them. So there's even that's removed. Yeah. So you're basically are performing for the cameras and the audience are kind of like almost like a prop.
Yeah.
Which is unfortunate, but it's for the people at home, really.
Yeah, exactly.
But the skill is to do it for the people in the room and the people at home and kind of like make sure that everyone gets something out of it.
Balance it, yeah.
It's good.
What else? I heard that you've got a Christmas single.
I do. I've got a Christmas EP coming out, which is... come on, Nick, get a move on. There's not a problem. It's out of my hands. I recorded it, I finished it, it's going... I'm doing a Christmas gig next week on the Monday the 21st.
Cool.
And
that's
at the Ho Ho Theatre that Bob Slayer runs over in Bank.
Okay.
and I haven't been there in a while, so I can't really remember how to get there or what it looks like or anything like that. But I'm looking forward to that. That's going to be good. And at the end of it, we're kind of like going to... we've got some CDs and stuff to do, but then we're releasing it on iTunes this week at some point. But we're just trying to sort. Such a fucking bollock. I've done everything that I can possibly do. It's out of my hands now, and now we're just waiting for the little details to be sorted out.
Do you do your own stuff, or are you part of a record label or anything like that?
I do all my own stuff at the moment. Because no one's ever asked me.
I always thought that it's that if you can do it yourself, because you are able to, because you go out, you perform, you do all your life stuff and so on and so forth, that means that you are able to, that why would you then give it to a record label?
Because they can do a bigger job for you. I mean, they can get you out into a larger audience.
But I don't know, but would you struggle? It's because you've got such expert, because you know you do Uncle, you've got Heavy Entertainment, you gig live, and then you've done Live at the Apollo. You've done all these things, so in a sense that I would have thought that you wouldn't necessarily need a record label to put stuff out there. And so many people are putting it in their own hands now. You know, when people are putting out their own DVDs and stuff like that.
I think it works both ways. It'd be nice. It's nice to think that you've got someone looking after you and kind of like doing that. But I mean, we self-produced. I'm really proud of my last album, or my first album, Hot and Heavy.
Nice.
I think that's
great
album.
Yeah, that came out this year.
It came out 2 years ago.
I've not done my facts.
I've got, so the new one is coming out next year. So we're doing an album launch at the Forum in Kentish Town.
Nice, man.
Gulp. Big gig.
Quite a bit.
Can we talk about what the single's called? Because you haven't mentioned what it's actually called yet.
That's a good point.
It's an EP. It's got four tracks on it.
Okay.
The main track is, it's kind of like a double single. So it's got, I'm So Depressed, which is my Christmas song. The whole EP is called Nick Helm's Single for Christmas because it's a pun. Do you get it? It works on two levels. Yeah, so Nick Helm's Single for Christmas. So the first song is called I'm So Depressed, which is my favourite thing that I've written for Christmas. And then the other song is There Ain't No Motherfucking Santa Claus. And then there's two other songs on there. One of them's called Boxing Day, which I did on a Radio 1 special a few years ago. And the other one is called Christmas is a Time. And it's got basically Christmas is a time for forgiving and forgiving. You know, so that's really clever. But the other day I listened to Mistletoe and Wine by Cliff Richard, and that's one of the lines in there, and I've gone, oh man, I thought I was a fucking genius. And Cliff Richard came up with it 30 years ago. So I'll downplay that. Nobody listens to FUBAR Radio, so I'll downplay that a bit. But yeah.
Do we actually have it?
I've got my mate, he's sending it to me, so I can forward it, and then maybe
yeah,
then we
cut can play
it
later.
Into your show.
Yeah. We'll think about it.
Think about it.
And Uncle.
Uncle.
Series three.
I can't believe it. It's great. So we open on the grave of Bruce. That's the character you play, Daniel.
I'm
very excited about it. It really kicks things off with a bang.
Why was that decision made?
I don't know, it wasn't working out, mate.
Okay. That's a shame. Well, thanks for coming in.
No, that's all right. No, I don't know anything about it, because as I've said numerous times, I don't write it. Uncle Series 3 is coming out. They just announced that recently, so that's good. But we're filming next summer.
Nice. I know none of this.
We're filming next summer, so don't book a holiday yet. And I think the reason we're filming next summer is because we get the kid cheaper.
Really? Oh, yeah.
if we get him during his summer holiday. It's just like they were like, oh, he'll enjoy it. It's just like, fuck off. He hasn't got a holiday.
It's weird, like his hours, like they try and organise it so he doesn't work too much. But because he still has to have schooling whilst we film, He works the hardest out of any one of us.
No, I wouldn't say that. I mean,
no, well, you say that. I mean, every time he's not filming, like, he has to go and then, like, study algebra and whatnot. I can't think of anything worse.
But every time I'm not filming, I have to make small talk with you.
That's a pleasure, though, isn't it? That's a real pleasure. That's what you do it for.
Yeah, that's right.
That's why you keep bringing me back for each series, even though you don't write it.
No, I don't write it.
Yeah.
Let's Bruce.
So what kind of stuff are you writing at the moment?
I'm writing two sitcom pilots, which I don't think I can really talk about. I'm writing... So the gig that we're doing at the Forum, basically, that's going to be like this huge rock show with... like basically every single song that I've ever written, like done end to end with no talking in between, and just smashing it out, and that'd be good. I did something similar in Edinburgh a couple of years ago, but we're going to really go for it and have like production values to this one.
Okay.
So that was actually that was pretty high production values.
Yeah.
Which is good. We did it at the Pleasance a couple of years ago, and we just borrowed everything from all of the other shows that are on at the moment. So there's kind of like a Cuban sort of salsa-y kind of show that was on at the Pleasance, and they stole their set and used it. So this time there's going to be like pyro and costume changes and stuff like that. It's going to with the full band. It's going to be brilliant. We've got a full band with my bass player, who's called Ben Ellis. And he's also Iggy Pop's bass player.
Really?
Yeah, I know.
Oh my God.
So like, he left me, and then he did Heavy Entertainment, and then he got a job working for Iggy Pop. And
as
he
goes,
oh yeah, well, so he's desperate to come back to me. So we're putting that show together. We'll be putting that show together in the new year, and then I'm also writing kind of like more of a theatre show, which is kind of like, which is what I've basically been touring. But I haven't quite finished it off, and the idea is to do something that's a little bit more small scale.
Do you mean, like a play?
No, it's like stand up. It's not really a play. It's not really theatre, but it's more theatrical.
Oh, okay.
Like theatrical stand up where I want to have lighting and
mood music and
It's not quite Daniel Kitson. but it's aiming to do. It was before I did stand up. I used to write theatre, and I used to take shows up to Edinburgh, plays and stuff.
Mm.
And so it's kind of, and then when I first started kind of like going over to doing stand-up, my shows were a lot smaller and a lot less technical, and I kind of miss that, because you end up just, it ends up being sort of like getting to a point where how much bigger can you get, and you can't really. So I wanted to go back and do something a bit smaller, but I think that will be something that I work on in the second half of the year. And then these two TV pilots, album coming out next year, EP coming out before Christmas. I've got another album in the works that I've started writing that this album has taken like a year, because I work with a guy called Andy Jones, who does the music on Uncle as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'll write a song, and I'll take it into him, and I'll play it for him, and then he'll make it sound amazing. And I also worked with a guitarist called Jamie Spencer Smith, and he was in Heavy Entertainment as well, and he's done everything with me. And so basically the idea is that what we do is we go into a studio, and I come in with this thing, and then Andrew produces the fuck out of it, and Jamie plays the guitar on it, and it's all, but it's a slow process.
Yeah.
So the idea for this, I shouldn't really be talking about the album after the next one coming up, but the idea for the one after this one is to do it kind of like a live band, where we set the band up in the studio and then we do it sort of all the way through.
Oh, nice.
And it would hopefully be a bit of a quicker process, but also give it a different sound, so that it's more, little mistakes in there as well. But the next album, the album that's coming out next, it's going to be called This Is the World Exclusive.
Nice.
Not told. Well, should I say?
Because
it might change.
It
might change. But at the moment, it's called Nick Helm is fucking amazing. And it's brilliant. Like, I'm really, really proud of it. There's some new stuff on there, and there's some duets on there, and I've got kind of like a lot of guests on there.
Oh, it's only because I'm part of a musical double act, and you've never
No, I don't rate you. So
really?
Yeah.
No, I don't. I don't think that's true. I think you've seen us perform live, and you fucking love it.
I mean, Emmy's good.
Yeah, I mean, because she plays the music and sings.
She's amazing.
Yeah, she's great. But I'm good
she
as well.
Just,
she
just.
I know.
She glimmers.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. And but I'm also.
Yeah, I know.
Because we kind of come as a pair.
Yeah.
Because it's ginger and black, so we're kind of
weird. So, I mean, right. You know, one day she may sue you for damages.
Cheers.
No, I'm a big fan. I'm a big fan.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
No,
yeah,
I used to put out chairs for you, didn't I?
Did you?
Yeah, I used to gig at Stella's Cellar, and you were on, and I used to put out chairs in the audience, and I used to do the tech.
Did you?
Yeah. I think it was before I did stand-up. Or maybe I just started doing stand-up.
You never told me this.
No, I've told you multiple times.
No, you have not.
Do you remember Stella Seller?
Yeah, Stella with the big hair and she used to be a Blue Peter.
Stuart Miles.
Yeah. I did not know that.
Yeah.
Someone's tapping at their watch, so I've got to kick you off.
I've got to go. Yeah,
you've got to leave.
You're not kicking me off. I'm leaving you.
Yeah, you've got to go finish cleaning your bath. Thank you so much for coming down.
Thank you for having me.
And I hope all the things that you are doing, there's too many to list, so I'm not going to go through them, but I hope they go amazingly well.
Thank you very much.
Looking forward to coming into your studio to go on one of your songs as well. And I'll see you next summer for Uncle.
That might happen.
It will happen.
Uncle will happen, but it might happen that you come in and guess for me. You've never expressed any interest in me before today.
Whoa!
It's almost like you've turned it on specifically for the microphone.
A little bit. Well, thanks for coming in, Nick Helm. It's lovely having you, and I'll see you soon.
See you soon, Daniel.
Bye!
Bye.
Doc Brown and Hugh Joseph on FUBAR Radio.
Under your tree, I got three jobs to buy that bike. You ski electric set and all the other shit you like. Well, look at what you got for pops. Half a pound of peanuts and some fucking itchy socks. You wrote your list, you spelled it good. Well, have a fucking medal, let's get one thing understood. Hey, Johnny, I got some news for you. Such thing as the fat guy. It's time you heard. You're 6 years old. You should be fucking grateful that you're getting more than cold. You live in treats for his hard work, whilst you've been treating me like I'm some sort of fucking jerk. You think it's him, the way to go and get it. Well, I've had it up to here and now I want some fucking murder. Hey Johnny, I got some news for you.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, that was a wonderful Nick Helm interview and song. And you are locked in, not to Doc Brown and Hugh Joseph, two very good friends of mine. You are in fact locked in to The Last Skeptic and Daniel Lawrence Taylor. So that was Nick Helm. How did you find that interview? Would you rate it on a scale of 1 to 10?
Wow. Oh, that's a tricky one. I mean, I was great.
You were good. You were really good. You were at least a 4 and a 4.3.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Thank you. I don't know if that's a compliment. It was good. I love Nick. So it's always quite nice talking to him.
Good.
So yeah, I was a little bit nervous, but he relaxed me.
Okay, cool. Well done, excellent. Well, we were of course talking about TV shows before that interview, and we were talking about Menage a Uno. What you, the wonderful listeners at home, in your car, wherever you are, in a larder. I'd like to be in a larder right now. But if you are in it, have you got a radio? Tell me, what are you doing in the larder? And then what are you going to be watching on your own, Menage a Uno, over Christmas on Netflix or otherwise? And we had some great emails in, I believe.
Yes,
so, Danny.
Yes, Paul, he's not said where he's from, but he says, I'll be binge watching Narcos on Netflix. But now I may watch The Bridge, thanks to Daniel's lovely description. So
it was an amazing description.
I don't want to brag, but yeah, it was quite impressive.
It was really good. I liked the bit where you just said it's basically about sex and her bedroom, and a lot of the crimes happen in her bedroom.
It just sounds right, you know. It's very low budget, keep it in one location. It's like it's like Him and Her, but you know, a crime drama. Oliver said, hi guys, I'd love to go into space. Oh, this is slightly different, sorry.
Oh, this is about space.
No, this is about space.
No, let's do it. Let's fly about. It doesn't matter.
Cool.
There's no rules.
I'd love to go into space with Sigourney Weaver. Because if we meet E.T., she will kick his ass.
Wow.
Yeah. But why would you want to beat up E.T.?
Yeah, I know. Specifically E.T. or just... Yeah.
No, just E.T. It says E.T. here. Not an alien brackets E.T. It was specifically
E.T.'s quite nice. It's quite cool. And also, E.T. was a Jedi. Do you ever seen that?
No,
I've seen that. Yeah, he was in Star Wars. He's because it's all, you know, Steven Spielberg, George Lucas-y world. If you look it up, there's this one comic that makes reference to going to some Jedi going to some space conference, and there's E.T.'s alien race that are there represented.
Really?
True story. You can look it up online.
It was in Episode 1, I'm being told. The film?
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
So, I'm not actually a Star Wars fan. We won't go into that.
We're
going to
go back into that later. Don't worry. We'll be discussing
listeners
that.
For that. Apologies. My Netflix and chill this Christmas, watching Miracle on Dirty Fourth Street.
Wow.
That's also from Oliver. So
big up
he's,
Oliver.
Yeah, I think he's. I don't think that's on Netflix. I think that's that's on Dirtflix or something.
Dirtflix. Wow, well done, Oliver.
Graham says, over the Christmas period, I'll be binge watching Man in the High Castle, Jessica Jones, and Daredevil. Not bad choices.
Jessica
bad
Jones choice. Is brilliant.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I do enjoy that. Man in the High Castle, that's good as well. That is good. I love that. Not seen Daredevil.
You've not seen Daredevil? No. Daredevil's brilliant.
Really?
Well, you know what, actually, like, we've got a special guest in the building, which is Adian Coker, fantastic rapper, artist, human being. And we're going to, and you know, we'll talk about it. We're going to go into his music in a second, but I feel like this is next in segue because he was shaking his head quite vehemently when we said Jessica Jones is good. Sorry, could you just pipe in with this?
Yeah, I'm going to pipe in. Yeah, man, Jessica Jones is like, yeah. You know, they put meh in the dictionary recently.
Yeah. Oh, did they?
I stick it along.
Oh, no.
It's a bit, it's like, you watch it because it's like Scandal. Watch it because there's nothing really else to watch at the time. So it's like, oh, I'll give Jessica Jones a bit.
This is controversial, man. Whoa.
You know, like, you put it alongside stuff like Narcos or Daredevil, Narcos. Even because it's the same thing.
Same universe.
It doesn't stand up.
So, are you a Marvel guy, like in general?
I'm a comic book guy.
Okay, so you're into the MCU, everything that is. Okay, so specifically, would you rate that as your lowest rated Marvel output? You know, from the MCU.
I think you know
worse than the Hulk.
No.
Okay,
we can't go that far. You know, Yeah, the Hulk was bad. I just think he could have been better. And okay. After Daredevil, after Daredevil, the bar that they set with that on Netflix.
Really?
Jessica, you haven't seen it?
No, I've not seen Daredevil. It's amazing. Jessica Jones. And weirdly enough, I kind of get where you're coming from. I do enjoy Jessica Jones, but if I never watched another episode, I wouldn't be crushed. You know what I mean? Right. It's that kind of show. Yeah. So when I put it on and I'm like, oh yeah, this is entertaining. But I'm not, you know, I'm not telling people about it. I'm just kind of watching it by myself, enjoying it by myself. It's not like a show.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I really liked it. So
I feel like
I'm gonna watch it again on my own. Yeah. So Adi and Coca, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you for having me, man.
And joining us. And so tell everyone out there about yourself.
Yeah, I'm from Woolwich. I don't know why I always tell people I'm from Woolwich. Like, I'm really, really proud. Like, of being from Woolwich, where they behead
people. there's other things in Woolwich, right?
Well, one or two.
I mean, no. I mean, there's a really big Tesco. They built like Europe's biggest Tesco.
Oh wow.
There's also poverty and crime, but you know, it's Woolwich, isn't it? Yeah. So I'm from Woolwich. I'm a producer, rapper. And we'll go into the plug for the EP in a bit. Yeah, but go and watch the videos, by the way. I have to talk about the videos because we spend a lot of time on the videos. I do my treatments, I do all the other bits, and they're good. You have to watch them.
So am I right in saying you film or you write the treatments for the videos?
So I write the treatments, do the concepts, and then we found this amazing director, Ian Roderick Gray, if you need any work done. Plug everybody.
No, do it. No, this is what it's for.
Yeah, he's amazing. And he was just able to take the ideas that were in my head and make them look exactly how I wanted them to, you know. So I'm like, yeah, this is what I want, and we discuss and collaborate, and then they came out amazing.
And so how do you feel, like, I know from personally doing it myself, where I come up with a concept and then I have to hand it to a director because, you know, I can't afford a camera, but also I wouldn't know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
But it's your baby, isn't it? It's your treatment. So.
But the thing is, I don't hand it to anybody. Like, even though I can't direct, it's not even that, it's just a vehicle for like my ideas, and I know that collaboration is the way you get the best results out of anything.
Definitely.
You know, so I don't care that whether it was my idea or somebody else's idea. It's like, this is a great idea. Let's see how many people can add to that idea and make it an even better idea. So, you know, it doesn't really bother me with that.
Yeah, that's very cool. And so what was the last video to drop?
Get Money. The last video was a single, Get Money.
Sick.
And I think I came up with that idea on the 89 bus, just so you know. I remember it vividly. On that 89. Yeah, going to Woolwich. Yeah. Actually, it doesn't go to Woolwich.
Oh, it doesn't? Oh, okay.
Get your facts straight, Danny.
Sorry, shame on me. My sister's a bus driver. I should know this.
Yeah, what came to mind is, are you really, really from the end?
Like, big tune.
But yeah, we got like a video shot. We made a film, like a little faux film, and then did the soundtrack, like Bad Boys. And then I'm acting in it. It's cool. Check it out.
Nice.
Go peep that. And that is from the new EP, which is Time Out of Mind.
Yeah, man.
And that came out 2 weeks ago.
It came out a couple of weeks ago. I was trying to think of the date and I couldn't say. I just said 2 weeks. 2 weeks ago. Might be three. You never know. Might be three. It's out. That's what
last
you need
month.
To know.
Last month.
And it's out on iTunes, obviously. Type in my name, Adian. Adian. Not Adria, not anything.
Not Adrian.
Not Adrian.
Not Steve.
Not Steve. Not Frederick.
That's it. Not Tim.
Adrian Coca. And you know what? It's on Spotify as well. But look, I just want you to listen to it. So even if you rip that, and you know, download it and don't pay for it, just go and listen to it.
That's very kind.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that, but yeah, that's nice. I'm about profit, but you're about music, you're about love of music.
No, that's called media training.
You know what, let's play Get Money right now. This is the brand new song taken from the Time Out of Mind EP, and this is called Get Money by Adi and Coca.
Wait till I get that money, yeah, I swear I'm gonna run it. I swear I'ma get out of here. Wait till I get out of here. Wait till I get that money, yeah. I swear I'm gon' run it. I swear I'ma get out of here. Wait till I get out of here.
Yeah.
What you know about the young spitting from the southeast? On the hustle like Jay, Kanye on these beats. What you know about Marion Road, piss poor? Their motors in the kitchen and we sleeping on the floor. You ever had dreams that money couldn't buy? Plus we trying to be rich, we ain't trying to get back. What you gonna do? Mother in the hospital for weeks. Ain't no time to man up. Shit, I had to get beast. Got me seeing these skinny ass niggas move weight. In a crooked ass world, ain't nobody move straight. Had me feeling like fuck it, and I'm out here on a mission. Trying to build up my position in the deep baby ambition. No, I only make fire, I ain't never blow smoke. Even though I might climb, man, this shit is no joke. So I flip a middle finger to the world, fuck fate. It's a race against time, and before it's too late, everybody trying to bang out, sit low, get money. Fuck, you ain't ever gon' take shit from me. All my people gon' get rich, Dunny. Fuck, boy, never gon' take shit from me. And we bang out, sit low, get money. Fuck, you ain't ever gon' take shit from me. All my people gon' get rich, Dunny. Yelling, make money, make what you know about promises that never panned out. Tryna be a high flyer, never had a handout. You already know, I ain't got a minute for a cynic. Give a fuck by your opinion, middle finger to a critic. Only thing I do, do it till there's no room for debating. If they say that they don't feel it, then you know they must be hating. We ain't talking success, and there's nothing for discussion. When you form without a purpose, you gotta live for something. Yeah, boy, I flew the coop, built my very own nest egg. Had to milk everything I touched since I was breastfed. Cause nobody had nothing for me. Pops left, my struggle, same old story. What you think? I didn't move slow and steady till I overtook 6'2". I was never gonna be overlooked. Now I'm trying to stack them pounds to the ceiling, getting A-Rab money. Inshallah, go willing, that's why everybody bang out, sit low, get money. Fuck, you ain't ever gon' take shit from me. All my people gon' get rich, Dunny. Fuck, boy, never gon' take shit from me. And we bang out, sit low, get money. Fuck, you ain't ever gon' take shit from me. All my people gon' get rich, Dunny. Yelling, make money, make.
Wait till I get that money, yeah, I swear I'm gon' run it. I swear I'ma get out of here. Wait till I get out of here. Wait till I get that money, yeah, I swear I'm gon' run it. I swear I'ma get out of here. Wait till I get out of here.
Bang out, sit low, get money. Fuck, you ain't ever gon' take shit from me. All my people gon' get rich, Dunny. Fuck, boy, never gon' take shit from me. And we bang out, sit low, get money. Fuck, you ain't ever gon' take shit from me. All my people gon' get rich, Dunny. Yelling, make money, make money.
That was AD and Coco with Get Money. That's very dope.
Thank you very much, mate.
Really, really dope. Go peep all the videos and go peep the EP. I'm not talking about you because you've already peeped the videos and the EP because it's yours. But everyone out there should do it too. Everyone out there should do it. I'm a fan. It's funny because I met you for the first time at my EP launch party a couple of weeks ago.
No, that's not true.
Is it not true?
You know what? That's not true because I was talking to my manager about this. I met you years ago.
Oh, no.
I think I did a
was
show.
Was I drunk?
No, it's okay. I did a show at XOYO.
Yeah.
Or was it? No, it was Yo-Yo. That was years ago. And I think you were there. It was either the Yo-Yo show or...
was that the Zebra Cat show? Were they playing? It would have been New Knowledge.
It would have been New...
100%.
Yes, it was New Knowledge. And it was years ago.
Wow.
Yeah. And I remember, I was like, hold on. Yeah, I know this dude.
Shit.
Yeah.
You know what? So many artists pass through New Knowledge, which is like, big up Ryan, and like, you know, that night was really good. So I was kind of like the resident DJ that night, and we had all new acts all of the time. And funny enough, funny you should say that, I was going through a bunch of old posters I had hidden away in my room, and I found one that said my name and then Michael Payne at the top. And so I was recording the EP with him at the time, and I took it out and I went, I think we've met before. So it turned out we did the show together, and neither of us had any idea because we did it once a month, and there were so many artists, amazing artists coming through that night. So, you know, we had Krept and Conan.
I think I did the first day, you know, the first day. Ever, and then Ryan wanted me to host it afterwards.
Oh, sick.
Because I was that good.
So good.
But it didn't happen because we couldn't get the money right.
Yeah, no, that's fair. You know what I mean? Get money, Aiden money. And Coco, dedicated to Ryan.
Yeah, buddy.
Sick, fantastic. All right, so we were talking. I came off stage. I was smashed. Yeah. You probably could have told. Yeah, could, yeah, yeah, I was really drunk.
Yeah.
I mean, I was drunk on stage because at some point during the show, someone told me, I turned around and went, fuck, I'm drunk.
So, is that usual? Because a lot of fans, when they go on stage, they will say, oh, I can't do that anymore. I remember Blur, Damon Albarn, say that he used to get really smashed when they were on stage. And then he was like, do you know what? I broke my ankle. I was falling over. I can't do that anymore. Mm. Do you like to have a drink or five on stage?
Yeah, quite a few. I've actually done the same. I've broken my ankle on stage before.
No way. And
yeah.
You still keep drinking?
I carried on for 4 hours.
Wow. How did you break your ankle? What did you do?
I was hosting a night, and so I wasn't even DJing or anything, and the month before, at the same night when I was hosting, they played one of my favourite songs of all time, which is Freeway, What We Do. See, that song, just, I don't know what happens when I hear that song.
What if I played it now? Yeah. What would happen?
It does something to me and it just switches my brain. So the month before, that song came on, and then I was like jumping up and down, and there was a fight behind me on stage, a fight in front of me, and this was in camp, you know, back where New Knowledge was.
Yeah.
And I was just shouting so much, I hit my face with the microphone and my lip just split.
No.
And I started bleeding everywhere, and I carried on, I was drunk, you know. And so the month later, the DJ, I think it was Mr. Thing, and then my boy Raj was there, and he said, turn around and goes, listen, next song's What We Do, make sure you just don't go injuring yourself again. I was like, yeah, shut up. And then the song came on, and I was like, oh fuck. And I just went, even though What We Do is, and then I started jumping up and down so vigorously that I jumped and then landed on my ankle, and it just went, and then like I was like, oh fuck, I think I've broken my ankle. So I literally turned the fader down. It was midnight, and the night was going on till 4. Turned the fader down. I went, can someone bring me a bottle of Jack Daniels and a bag of ice, please? And then they came up. I'd literally just downed as much as I could of the bottle, and just then tied the ice around my ankle and carried on till 4. Ooh, and then they carried me upstairs.
Mad.
That was upsetting. Anyway.
There you go. You're hungover,
I need you to be my
hungover,
DJ.
Yeah. It was a bit much. So that on my EP launch, I saw you, and I come off stage, and very, very, very drunk. Big up Patron, who supplied the alcohol for that date for the day.
I saw you swigging. Proper swigs. No, like half-hearted swigs.
Nah, it was bad. I mean, on stage at one point, I said, because I had a harp on stage, I turned around and said, I got a fucking heart, bruv. Fuck off.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember.
So I came on stage, and then I saw you, and then we were like introduced, and I was like, oh shit, lovely to meet you. And then I believe.
Hold on, wait, sorry. Did we speak like that? Did we say, lovely to meet you.
Delightful.
Absolutely.
Amazing. I was very well spoken because I was clearly drunk, and I turned into an English gent.
Yes, you did, sir. Yes, you did. Yes.
And then I said the first thing, which was your name.
Yeah,
your name. So a lot of people say it differently to me. How do you say it? And he said, "Well, it's Adrian." And I was like, "Oh, right," because I'm Corin, and people always say my fucking name wrong.
How do they say your name?
I don't know, Corinne, or they think I'm Colin.
Or Skepta.
Or Skepta. You know what I mean? And it's like, and so that's, you know, and I felt like that was a small moment of bonding.
No, we did, you know.
So what's the funniest variation of your name that you've heard?
Well, when I was in primary school, they used to love calling me Alien, obviously.
That's pretty cool,
that's really
right?
Funny. But you know what? My surname is hyphenated, so I dropped the Paul because I'm a rapper and we don't have hyphenated surname, obviously.
No,
it's not hard.
No.
So my full name is Adrian Paul Coker, right? So when I go to the government offices and they ask me for my name, they're like, oh, can I take your surname, please? And I'm like, yeah, Paul Coker. And then they look at me like, I've had a long day, I don't need this. What's your surname? I'm like, yeah, Paul Coker. Just your surname, please. I'm like, look, it's hyphenated.
No.
Okay. So now I have to spell it out for them. PAUL-COKER. And then they look at the keyboard, start looking for what's a hyphen? You know, it's the dash. And then usually I get an apostrophe if I'm lucky. If not, I just get a space. So, you know.
People are really annoying.
I know about that life.
See, once I got Conan instead of Corin.
That's kind
of
hard, though.
That's pretty good. I'm not going to lie, I was really happy that day. Although, because, you know, my full name is Corin Duyebit, so it's quite a difficult name to spell or pronounce or whatever it is. And people just struggle with it. on a daily basis. But when I was at uni, I kept having a recurring nightmare that there was someone enrolled, enlisted to my course, which was sociology, called Colin Doobie, who is exactly like me in every way, but just a little bit better. And so my dream was that I woke up one day and my housemate said, hey, Corin, sorry, you've actually got to move out because Colin's moving in. And he got all better grades than me and everything. I was like, and he was better at music. And I was like, I woke up traumatized, man.
Colin Doobie.
When you guys have kids now, you're just going to give them really plain names. It's yes. Steve, Bob.
No, I feel like my child needs another trauma of having a name like mine. So Lucifer.
And speaking of childhood trauma, this actually segues perfectly onto a conversation we were having off air about my wonderful red trousers.
Oh, man.
I've been wanting to speak about this for a while. Matter of fact, it was the first thing I wrote down as I knew I was coming in today. Today, I'm wearing some red trousers.
He really is.
I really am. Thanks, Danny.
He brought the trousers.
Brave.
Thank you. And they were gifted to me by the wonderful Edwin Jeans, who are incredible. And I went in yesterday, and you know, I always get some clothes from them. And they make incredible chinos. And so I was like, okay, you know, they're like, it's Christmas, you know, is there anything you want? And I was like, oh, you know what, those trousers look kind of nice. And I'm like, can I pull them off? So today, you'll find I have. I'm a bit nervous about them, so I've never worn anything so avant-garde.
Do you know,
like this.
Green's quite a festive colour as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
Green
trousers, be, yeah.
But that's a bit other colours.
Yeah, greens, reds, yeah, yellows.
Okay. So you think I can only wear these in December and then done?
No, and then summer.
Summer, yeah.
Maybe some spring and all as well, but, you know?
Well, it depends on the weather or the time of year. So Christmas or hot.
Yeah.
In summer though, they've got to be the no trainers. In summer, even people wear red trousers, chinos, it's the kind of no socks.
Yeah, roll them up. Yeah,
never.
Yeah,
no. And I don't see you as a person
no,
that does
never.
That.
So I couldn't do that.
We're living in Essex now.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. No, I couldn't do that. And so Aileen, you were saying you had some red trousers in school.
I mean, I had some red trousers last week, the last time I checked as well. So.
Wow.
But, in school, I remember it was like non-uniform day, and me and my guys, we used to do this thing where we used to buy like an item, and we'd wear like the same item. So we had like the same coats, we had like the same, we thought we were doing it. Anyway, so we went to this shop, it's closed down now, thank God, in Lewisham, and we bought these like velvety kind of, wow, man, they were like, they look like leather. I can't even believe I'm telling you this story.
It's a great
like,
story already.
They look like leather.
Velvet leather. That sounds.
I mean,
this is lovely.
Were they like? They were. Were they like raggers? Are you talking about those?
What's that?
Raggers. They
so
were.
You
like,
know, his size. Some. Yeah.
Well, I'm from Lewisham, so that's.
You know the black market.
Yeah.
So down there, where you could get all of that.
Yeah,
shit.
And patties and all that. Yeah.
Right. So anyway. So yeah, I got a red one. Moses got white. I can't believe he got white. And then
terrible.
Went in, and they're proper tight. And so, oh man, we're like playing around or whatever. It's wet. There's mud, and I'm running to obviously chase a girl.
Yeah, of course.
And,
of course.
I fell and I slid on all of this mud.
Yeah.
So I stand up. My jeans have ripped, obviously, because they're nice and tight.
Yeah.
And I've got mud on my bum. And so, obviously, we're in school. I'm 16. I had to go home and get changed and everything. So, the moral of the story is, one, don't buy your jeans from Lewisham.
Okay.
Two,
cool.
Don't wear velvety, leathery-looking...
Just never wear them.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a life rule.
But actually, also, I have to think about the level of confidence
that
I must have had.
So much.
Yeah. Like, to be able to think that was okay.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Mm. Like, you've got to give me some praise or something.
Okay, right, fine.
But I suppose that was during the time of, like, Machino, where that was, like, really colourful clothes. Or, like, do you remember Kixi? Those ones as well, so that's
always wished I could have afforded Machino in school.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, but everybody could afford it, it's just whether you wanted to buy a real one or not.
Yeah.
I had fake Armani jeans.
I had the t-shirts of AJ on them.
Yeah.
I had a fake Tommy Hilfiger shirt as well.
Yo, you know what takes it deeper? I had Asics. Well, you know about that. Yeah. That was before Asics was trendy. That was before you could. Listen, I remember one time, oh man, I had these shoes, boat shoes, before everybody was rocking boat shoes. Right? Yeah. But I was so embarrassed about these boat shoes that when I used to leave them outside the door, so my mama bought them for me because she's African, you get what you get. And I went and bought another pair of shoes, and I used to leave those shoes on the landing on the 7th floor and go into the house and put my boat shoes on, right? Because I was too embarrassed to go to school with the boat shoes. So I was so I was doing this for about a week, and then one day I came back to the landing, and what, somebody had taken one of the other shoes, the loafers, they'd taken one loafer. So I had to go into school wearing my boat shoes. But the crazy thing is, about 2 months later, everybody was wearing freaking boat shoes.
I think you started it.
Maybe.
I think you started it.
The embarrassment.
I find that now I'm a little bit older. So whilst I would do these wacky things wear wacky things when I was in school, maybe, around that age, I kind of maybe went a little bit more pedestrian in my 20s with what I'm wearing, trying to be a bit more sleek. And now I'm older, I'm doing more eccentric things that the age is maybe making me do. Whether it's the red trousers, or one thing I noticed today that I started doing for the first time in my life is tucking in my shirt into my trousers.
Okay. Oh, wow. Have you ever tucked your jumper into your trousers?
No.
I mean, that's deep.
That's next level.
Maybe that's in another 10 years.
See, I suppose I've always been quite plain, but I'm plain in old age simply because of clothing. My personality.
I was just like, guys, I don't know if you heard my...
Don't put yourself down like that, Danny.
Guys, I'm really a great person. But that's only so nothing goes out of fashion. So if I buy plain pieces of clothing, I'm wearing that until it can't wear anymore. That's how I wear clothes now.
Great.
Yeah.
And you look great.
Thank you.
Do you get free stuff though? You're an actor, so presumably you get free stuff.
I speak to so many actors that get so much free stuff. Mm. And I'm not a known actor, so that's fine. But I know.
Don't put yourself down. Wow. We know you.
Wow, I just want a couple of levels of self-deprecation. But I know other actors that are kind of on my level of acting, and they always talk about free. And they always get free shit. I'm I've got Nando's free a couple of times. And maybe a drink or two, but I never get free clothes.
That's big,
I mean, I'm happy with the Nando's. But I never get free clothes. I need to start having a word,
man. These first world problems that we live in. It's crazy out here in these streets.
I just want someone to buy me a machine on top. That's all I want. Just a real one.
Have you seen Kill Your Friends yet?
No.
You should watch that film because Ed Skrein wears the best Machino tops, and it's of the 90s, music industry, and he's got this collection that he had to borrow off his mate for the film, who still had all of them.
Oh wow,
rocking them, they are pretty incredible. So cool. go watch that. So we asked everyone on the emails and out there in the wider world, what would be your menage a uno over the Christmas period that you would be crying into maybe a mince pie about?
Lauren's written, this is my favourite thing on Netflix at the moment, is Wet Hot American Summer. Mm. Such a funny and weird programme. Mm. I've never actually watched it.
Surprise, surprise.
I don't know. I'm always in front of... My girlfriend always said, why are you always in front of the TV? Yeah, it seems like I've never watched anything.
What do you watch?
I don't know. What do I watch?
Cockroaches.
Just my own programmes. Uncle, Hannah's Live Your Life. Just have them on repeat. Just back again. Just looking at my performance.
If you think, I don't know whether this is just my mind, but these titles all sound a bit like porn films. Hot American Summer, Jessica Jones, Daredevil.
It's Netflix and chill. That's why.
That's Menage a Uno. Yeah. Netflix and chill.
This says Netflix and cry.
Oh, good. That is the new one. I've definitely coined that for today. So the other thing I thought about that I was going to ask you, because we do have 12 minutes left, and I'm just trying to get in as many things that I can add on my mind. This is the last time anyone will listen to me. your IMDb page. Okay. We started off the show.
Okay.
Talking about this. We're going to get it up right now. I think maybe we should talk about it together.
Really?
Nice little porn segue there.
That's it. Yeah.
So I have two. I've got one for my TV and one for my porn career.
Where do you want to start?
Firstly, why is there no photo of you?
I don't put that up. It's just when I do a production, it pops up.
You should put it up.
You should have your face on there.
I know.
Someone said I should do a Wikipedia page, and then someone did one for me.
He's stunning right now, you know. Yeah. He's actually stunning.
That's it. Someone did it for me.
Do you know what I mean?
No, he's not stunning.
But I should invest in my career a bit more,
and I should be a bit more proactive.
What is the first line on your IMDb page? Can you guess?
What, credit wise?
No, just in the bio. Can you guess?
Daniel Lawrence Taylor.
Yes!
Is an actor.
Yeah. Yep.
And comedian.
Oh, no!
Writer.
Yes!
Yeah, okay, good. All right, doing well.
Known for.
Oh, I know that because I have seen it recently. It's going to say Connect.
Yeah, correct.
How Not to Live Your Life?
No.
No, it's not Cockroaches. No. Oh, I don't. The Musical Storyteller? No. I know what it is. I'm just listing up all my credits.
That's it.
Maybe it's a BAFTA winning short film. I don't know what it is. What is it?
Brave, do I have eyes?
Brave Young Men.
Oh, okay, that was a pilot.
And this one sounds great, which I haven't seen. The Cow That Almost Missed Christmas.
Oh yeah, it was.
What's all that about?
It was a an animation, so it's just my voice.
It's just this old thing.
But it was a shame though, because I could only make one of the recording days. So I voiced one character in a Jamaican accent, which I really loved. But
Can we hear it? No, I don't want to embarrass myself.
I think everyone wants to hear it.
No. But I couldn't make the second recording day, so they had to cut me and that character, and I was gutted. So I was just like other small characters that I did. But yeah, it was fun.
It's nothing. Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah. No big deal.
So, producer Nat, do we go into one more song?
We can do.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, sure. And I believe it's one of Danny's choices.
Well, we can either do Rick James for you or Odyssey. Which one would you do?
Oh, I don't know. Let's go for Rick James. Rick James.
Classic. This is Mary Jane.
Die young out here, mess around and die before 21 out here. Mama stressing, seen them ratchets in the dresser. She not asking questions, she the vest and seen other kids in the casket resting. So loud they got surround sound. Smoking good, cause they trying to take me back to some hood. Any club, any fly fair, they start shooting, all they remember is Nas was there. Some homies of yours banging affiliation on a personal tie. Conflict with business can hurt down the line. It's something that you ain't have nothing to do with. Your man confrontation end up getting you hit. Learn how to draw the line from when we hang with the shooters, strippers, dealers, and killers, leeches and opportunists. Where I come from is ruthless. Air you out from the Ubers, tutored by movers. Put holes through your home. You wouldn't get that from me, yo. You'd overlook me looking like I just get to that money and stay in some. Got a pretty real dope life. Fly from the other side. Hecklers, PKs, 9s, and 4.5s, 7.62s. Deer hunting, rifle shells, life is hell. Sweeten them wine tasting. But we won't self-indict ourselves. Be our own prosecutor, won't 25 to life ourselves. We bout that moolah. Rich shooters, you getting money, got a then you one of us. Trust.
You getting money, got a then you one of us. Calculated, touching money, these Taylor clothes, fashion magazines, they fascinated. Double M umbrella, the feds call a tax shelter. Hit 2 million, they conspire to send the rats at you. Cha-cha-cha-cha, slide, catch me on that other side. Foreign cars, private jets, high rate of homicide. Mark Jacob, chocolate diamonds, they for my wife. 80 years, but if he's a righteous, follow the rules, never let a man take your jewels. And if he do, double back, make sure he make the news. It ain't a rush, they ain't a till it's time to bust. You getting money, got a then you want a bus.
You getting money, got a then you one of us. Trust.
You getting money, got a then you want a bus. Dice game, head crack, it's time to get it back. Only one in the studio that could get it back. Raw deal, Robert, like it's for my appeal. Closest friends do his best, regardless how I feel. Went to the lot and got them on the same day. Straight to the jeweler and did the watch the same way. Young
tab on FaceTime, talking cake time. Next crib I build, gotta cross state lines. Hate how I wear my heart on my sleeve, and how the team got the choppers with the shoulder swings. It ain't a rush, they in the trap, then you a hundred up. You getting money, got a, then you one of us. You getting money, got a, then you one of us. You getting money, got a, then you one of us.
Yeah. So that was not Rick James, actually. It was Rick Ross featuring Nas. And that's One of Us, taken from Rick Ross's new album, which I actually really like. I've just put the mic too high, so I'm just kind of tiptoeing to get to it. I like the challenge, yo. I feel like Nas when I'm doing it. You know what I mean? So you guys, lovely people out there, you've written in with even... I didn't even ask for it, but that's great that you've done it. With your fashion-related emails, Daniel Lawrence Taylor, hit me.
Yes, well, I've got one from Sammy. He said, I went ice skating the other week at Winter Wonderland. Nice. Me and my date was having an awesome time until he slipped over on the ice and split his chinos in two.
Oh, no.
It was so bad that I could see his underwear.
Wow.
Yeah. And it would be, it wouldn't be so bad if it like me and my boyfriend. I'm assuming Sammy's a girl. Date. But it, me and my date.
You got a funny story to tell though, if you like you get married or something.
Yeah, that's true. Same time, it's a date, like you want it to go well, do you know what I mean? You don't want to remember that.
Yeah.
As yeah, no, that's
good point.
Sorry, Sammy. Kelly from Southend. Hey guys, I bought a lovely denim jacket the other week. I don't think I could pull it off, but I totally do. So chuffed.
What's it called? Rhinestones or something? Why would you not be able to pull off a denim jacket?
Yeah, well, surely you just take one arm out at a time.
Lovely.
Right.
Simmer down. Someone's a comedian. Hey? Someone wants my job.
This is all an elaborate audition.
You're hired.
Yes. Fantastic. All right. So we only got a couple minutes left. Literally two of the English minutes left. And we didn't even talk about Star Wars. So can we talk about Star Wars in less than 1 minute, in fact?
Yeah.
Danny hates Star Wars.
I missed that window where everyone got on board, and I just missed it. And so now it's like someone else tried to show me, like, isn't this the greatest thing in the world? Right. I was like, but it was like in the 2000s. I was like, but this just looks cheap.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? And it's because I missed that. And I'm sure at the time it would have been amazing. Yeah. And so that's why I.
No, that's totally fair enough. Adrian, your opinion on Star Wars?
Yeah, I haven't seen one of them.
Okay, fine, great. Well, this is a really productive chat. I'll just let you know that obviously Daisy Ridley is starring, very attractive Daisy Ridley is starring in the new Star Wars film. I put up a tweet the other day that I thought was really funny, infusing a big pun lyric, dead in the middle with little widdy, you know, diddly. And no one got it because I put in Daisy Ridley in the middle, dead in the middle of Little Italy with Daisy Ridley. Little did they know that they didn't do diddly, and no one understood it. It probably wasn't quite funny enough.
I don't think anyone did.
Saying it out loud. Two big pun fans.
I like big pun, but you know.
Well, I end on a high. Why not?
Sorry. You should have ended with the last gag.
Okay, sorry. Great. Well, listen, we're going to end. Thank you so much to our guests, Adrian Coco.
Woo!
Yeah.
Make sure you go check out his EP right now. And thank you very much to Nick Helm for the interview as well. And Daniel Taylor, come on!
Yeah.
I have been your host, The Last Skeptic, and the final song. Oh, thank you to
Nathan. We had to clap you, really.
Because of that last joke, you're not getting a clap now.
Validate me. Thank you to Natalie and Fubar Radio. And basically, this is the last song, and this is my song. It's taken from my new EP, Revenge is the Best Success. It's called Tomorrow, featuring Dream McLean and Matt Wills.
Even if all my days are gone, with no words to this song, if my girl all gone runs, still tomorrow will come.
I'll do it tomorrow when I wake up. That's what a couple draws on a high grade does.
time waster. That was 2 bars, I'm a brain waster. Done now, fuck it, my mind's made up. Laugh now, cry later. It's a mountain you can't just climb straight up. Straight up, man. Straight up. Fight makeup, wake up, go lakeside, buy makeup to conceal the crack shit. We might break up, but she takes the most of my days up. From time to time, I might play up. Could lose her, but if another guy takes her, till her roses ain't red, all the daffodils are dead. And I couldn't give a fuck, because like ain't love, but I love, but I love, but I love. But I swear to you, my mind frame's fucked. And I'm feeling like I'm living in a kind of place where we're designed to get fucked like a vibrator. We don't wanna put a brick down today, but we promise ya, tomorrow we'll build a skyscraper. Tomorrow, promise ya.
Even if all my days are gone, even with no words to this song, even if my girl opens,
that I need to be more like he is, owning up to his responsibilities, providing it. I said we're getting old now, ain't it?
We're getting old.
He said time flies, but guess who the pilot is? It's you, brother. It's you, brother.
It's you, brother.
Just go and get him, you know what to do, brother. I said tomorrow ain't promised, but I promised that I'd do it tomorrow, mate. Honest, I was gonna send flowers to abroad like a holiday florist. Either I forgot or ain't bothered, ain't. I guess it's the latter. That's why my ex decided someone better should have a hole. Oh, well. Cause they say someday it's not a day of the week. One of these days is none of these days. But one of these days, yeah, one of these days I might get around to doing it.
Even if all my days are gone, even with no words to this song, even if my door opens, still tomorrow. Stop a mind, just stop a mind until it comes.